Today on The Journey,
we're going to talk about going on a great endeavor. But this endeavor will not focus on you and it won't focus on me. Our subject is what it takes to go on a great endeavor for God.
Facing a world crumbling under the weight of sin and selfishness, individual Christians are called to participate in a building program greater than themselves. So today, Ron Moore begins equipping you for that task with an inspiring look at the story of Nehemiah. Just before that, I want you to know about our special offer during this series. Sinister voices, external and internal, positive and negative, can halt your growth in Christ. But Ron will teach you how to defeat them in his powerful publication, Voices of Opposition. It's available for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. Your donation will help further our ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron with the message, A Great Endeavor for God, on The Journey.
A few years ago, my wife Lori read this book. It's called Into Thin Air. And she said, this is a book you have to read. And so a few weeks after that, my mom had been sick and she was recovering from surgery. So I made a quick trip to Oklahoma and somewhere in Illinois or Missouri. I don't know where. I stopped at one of those Cracker Barrels. Everyone ever stop at a Cracker Barrel when you're traveling? And I looked at the books on tape and I saw on tape this book, Into Thin Air. And what made it even better, it was read by the author himself, John Krakow. So I rented this book on tape, got in my car, and the rest of the way to Oklahoma, John and I had this personal conversation as he told me his story on tape. And I was so captivated by this story. When I got into Oklahoma, this 1,000-mile trip, I wasn't finished with the book. I was in the middle of a chapter, so I drove around my little town there. Just a while, my mom would have shot me had she known I was in town and was driving around listening to a tape. But it was amazing. The story of leadership, the story of risk, the story of tragedy. It's an adventure about climbing Mount Everest and all the sacrifices made for that and all the things that go into that. It was a tremendous story. But what hit me most of all was this. Listen to what he says. It was early in the afternoon on May the 10th, 1996. I hadn't slept for 57 hours. The only food I'd been able to force down over the preceding days was a bowl of soup and a handful of peanut M&Ms. Weeks of violent coughing had left me with two separated ribs and made ordinary breathing an excruciating trial. At 29,028 feet up in the atmosphere, so little oxygen was reaching my brain that my mental capacity was that of a slow child. Under the circumstances, I was incapable of feeling much of anything except cold and tired. Now listen to what he says. Straddling the top of the world, one foot in China, the other in Nepal, I cleared the ice from my oxygen mask, hunched a shoulder against the wind, and stared absently down at the vastness of Tibet. I understood on some dim, detached level that this sweep of earth beneath my feet was a spectacular sight. I had been fantasizing about this moment and the release of emotion that would accompany it. But now that I was finally here, actually on the summit of Mount Everest, I just couldn't summon the energy to care. Ah, think about that. This guy pours money and energy and life and sacrifice. Two cracked ribs. He can hardly breathe. He has dreamed of this moment. He's waited for this moment. He finally gets there. And he says, you know what? I could hardly summon the energy to even care. Can you think of anything more tragic than the work and sacrifice and give and go through all the pain, maybe all your life? And then get to the top of the mountain that you have dreamed about and you have worked for and you have sacrificed for. And when you get there, you can hardly summon the energy to care. You stand there empty, confused, and alone. We're going to talk about getting to the top. We're going to talk about going on a great endeavor. But this endeavor will not focus on you, and it won't focus on me. It will not be some selfish adventure that will leave us empty and confused and alone. Our subject is going to be what it takes to go on a great endeavor for God. We're going to study an Old Testament book, the Old Testament book of Nehemiah. And we're going to see what a great endeavor for God looks like, how you stay the course, how you meet the challenges, how you get to the top, not alone, but celebrating with all those that you love and thanking God because He's the one you know got you there. So take your Bibles and find the Old Testament book of Nehemiah. While you're turning there, let's just set context. This is a story about a great endeavor for God. The protective walls of Jerusalem were once very strong, but they've been battered down. The gates that guarded the city have been burned to the ground. The people are living in danger and they're living in disgrace. And you know what? They don't even have the energy to care. We're going to go through this book chapter by chapter, and we're going to see how God uses Nehemiah to encourage the people and to rebuild the wall. I want to start our study by just taking a step back and looking at a big picture. I want us to look at three major themes, three major strands that weave their way throughout the book. Here's the first one. It won't be surprising. A great endeavor for God takes a great God. Throughout our study, we're going to find people who have a task before them that is beyond them. It is bigger than they are. They know on their own they cannot complete the task. But these same people understand one thing. They understand that the God they love and the God they serve is more than capable of handling any assignment that He gives them. There are some of you here today going through difficult assignments. You're going through challenging times. But I want to remind you of one thing, and I will remind you of this as we go through the book, chapter by chapter. Whatever assignment God gives you, He is more than capable of seeing you through it. A great endeavor for God, whatever it is, takes a great God. Look at Nehemiah, chapter 1, verse 5. The book opens with Nehemiah praying before the God of heaven. And here's his description of God. O Lord, God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps His covenant of love with those who love Him, and those who obey His commands. Nehemiah says from the very beginning, I serve a God who is the God of heaven. He is great. He is awesome. He is more than capable of carrying out His promises and carrying through with what He'll say He'll do. In chapter 2, Nehemiah stands before the powerful Persian king Artaxerxes, and he's going to make a bold and risky request. And Nehemiah does that with courage. And he does that with boldness, but he can only do it because he knows he serves the God of heaven. And when the king grants Nehemiah's request, he quickly says in chapter 2, verse 8, because the gracious hand of my God was upon me, the king granted my request. It was only because I serve a great God. When the walls were completed, in 52 days of focused effort, Ezra, the priest, is called in to speak to the congregation. And Ezra is going to say in chapter 8, verse 6, Ezra praised the Lord, the great God. And all the people lifted their hands and responded, Amen and Amen. Then they bowed down and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Ezra praised the God of heaven, the great God. Chapter later, the Levites are brought in to lead in worship. And look what they say in chapter 9, verse 5. Stand up and praise the Lord your God who is from everlasting to everlasting. Blessed be your glorious name, and may it be exalted above all blessing and praise. You alone are God. You made the heavens, even the highest heavens, and all the starry hosts, and the earth and all that is in it, and the sea and all that is in them. You give life to everything, and the multitudes of heaven worship you. In Nehemiah, we find a people who understand this one thing, that no matter how great the task, no matter how great the endeavor, their God is perfectly capable of giving them everything they need to make it through. What endeavor are you involved in? Maybe it's the great endeavor of living your life for Christ on a campus, junior high or high school or college, on a campus where Jesus Christ is anything but honored. And it seems like sometime you're standing alone. Perhaps your great endeavor is living as a single and staying sexually pure. Perhaps you're involved in the great endeavor of marriage. You want your marriage to shine and be an example of what two people in love with each other and in love for Christ look like. The great and difficult endeavor of recovering from a divorce, or breaking the bonds of an addiction, or healing from the death of a loved one. You can't do it on your own. You're not strong enough. You're not wise enough to pull it off. Any great endeavor, any assignment that God has for you, it takes a great, great God. And He is more than up for the task. But you know what amazes me? The great God who can do anything He desires to do, anytime He wants to do it, always involves people like you and me. Here's a God who spoke the world into existence. He didn't need our help to do that. Here's a God who sends His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross for us, to do for us what we can never do for ourselves. And yet in great endeavors in our life, in the things we're involved in, whether it's building the walls of a church, or building the walls of our marriage, or building the walls in our family, or building protective walls around our heart, He allows us to be involved in the process. And we see a second theme that runs through the book of Nehemiah. Here it is. Great endeavor for God takes great leadership. Anything you're going to do for God means that you're going to step out of your comfort zone. It means that you're going to be stretched and willing to stretch others. It takes great leadership. And in this book, we will learn what great leadership is all about. Three characteristics of great leadership. Number one, we will see great endeavor for God requires leaders with a vision. Nehemiah chapter 2, listen to these words. Nehemiah says, I set out during the night with a few men. I had not told anyone what God had put in my heart to do for Jerusalem. What God had put in my heart. In chapter 7, Nehemiah says, so God put it into my heart to assemble the nobles and the rest of the organization he had to do. God put it in his heart. See, vision is not a dream. It's a divine impression on the heart. Dreamers and dreams come and go, but those with a vision have such an internal fire on their souls put there by God himself. They can't stand it unless they are working toward the great endeavor God has placed them on. They can ignore it. It still burns. It can be derailed by opposition. It still burns. It can be slowed by criticism. It still burns. Nehemiah had all those things happen to him. It still burned. And we will watch Nehemiah deal with challenges and criticism, and we will watch him deal with opposition from the inside and the outside. And yet, because God has impressed on his heart a vision, he can't stop until it's complete. Secondly, a great endeavor for God requires leaders with passion. Look at chapter 1, the first four verses of the book. in the month of Kislev in the 20th year while I was in the citadel of Susa. And then one of my brothers came from Judah with some of the men, and I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that survived the exile and also about Jerusalem. And they said to me, those who survived the exile and are back in the province are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates have been burned with fire. Now watch what Nehemiah does when he hears those words. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down. The people are in disgrace. They're in danger. God is in disgrace. He says, when I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Nehemiah's passion for God is demonstrated throughout this book. We see it here as he slumps to the ground and weeps because Jerusalem is in disgrace. We see it as he goes back to lead the charge in building the walls. And we'll see it in the last chapter of the book when he deals decisively with sin that's crept back into Jerusalem. Nehemiah was passionate about his love for God and his desire to be involved in God's work. Great endeavors for God take leaders with vision and take leaders with passion. And thirdly, a great endeavor for God requires leaders with integrity. Again, we see this in Nehemiah. Look at chapter 5, verse 15. Nehemiah has now been appointed governor of Jerusalem. He says in verse 15, the earlier governors, those preceding me, placed a heavy burden on the people and took 40 shekels of silver from them in addition to food and wine. Their assistants also lorded it over the people. But out of reverence for God, because of my love for God, because of my commitment for this great God, I couldn't do the things they had done before me. It wasn't right. Leadership takes great integrity. I ran across in the Wall Street Journal, January 23, 2004, an article by Jack Welch, the CEO of General Electric, and he talks about the four E's of leadership: energy, the ability to energize others, having an edge where you can act decisively, and then finally being able to execute and get the job done. And then he says this in the article. Now, an important point. You absolutely cannot even start to think about the four E's until you get a solid yes on this question. Does the leader have integrity? A great leadership of a mother means you have to be one who speaks the truth to your children, who loves them so much that you will show them what is right with your life, that you will live before them in such a way that demonstrates what it really means to love Jesus Christ, that spiritual integrity. The great endeavor of fatherhood means, fathers, you will lead your home well, knowing you can't do it on your own, but it takes a great God to do that. And you will live your life in such a way that you will guard the gates and walls of your marriage. And you will demonstrate your love for your wife, the most important thing you can do for your children. And you will speak the truth to them. And you will demonstrate to them what it means to love Jesus Christ. Whether it's in the workplace or the home, leadership involves great integrity. And the question always is, are we people of integrity? Are we people who will live our lives for God no matter what? Will we make any sacrifice necessary? Will we do anything necessary? Will we put in the hard work, meet the challenges, meet the opposition? You see, most important thing in leadership is self-leadership. And until we can lead ourselves and lead our own heart, then we're not ready to lead anyone else. Great endeavor takes great vision. It takes great passion. It takes great integrity. Are we those people whom God has chosen to lead whatever area of our life with those three things? One other theme that weaves itself through this book. And it's this. Great endeavor for God takes great participation. Great endeavor for God is never done alone, but it's done in the midst of a community. In chapter 3, there is a list of people who are builders of the wall. Name by name, God cares about the participation of people. He tells where they're located, what gate they're building, what section of the wall they're building, their skills, how they're involved. You turn to chapter 7, you have a list of people who are participating in the building of the wall. God cares about people. He writes their name in His book. You turn to chapter 10 and chapter 11 and chapter 12, and you know what you have? More lists of people. Because God cares about people one by one, one life at a time. And He has their names written here. Because He wants us to know these 2,400 years later that these are the people who are involved in a great endeavor for God. It takes great participation. When I was young, my dad had this magnifying glass. And I remember going outside in a hot Oklahoma sunshine, and I would take that thing and I would zero in on a leaf. And I would watch the rays of the sun intensify through the magnifying glass and burn a hole in that leaf. The sun burning down never set the leaf on fire, but intensified through that magnifying glass. It was powerful. It could start fire. So it is with us. One person at a time, we're not all that much. But together, we can do great things. Intensified by our love for Christ. Intensified and focused because we love Jesus so much that we're willing to come together and do great things for Him. That's what a great endeavor is all about.
And please stay with us. Ron returns with a special announcement just ahead. Do voices of discouragement, doubt, and ridicule from past and present hound your days and gnaw at your sleep? You know, those persistent taunts that question your abilities, wisdom, and resources can keep you from reaching your full potential in Christ. So in his booklet, Voices of Opposition, Ron Moore helps you isolate the causes of such doubt and fear and defeat them in God's strength. There, you'll discover an exciting new vision for the work Christ has prepared for you to do. Voices of Opposition is yours for a donation of any amount when you visit ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. Your gift today will help keep the journey on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron to tell us about an event that will strengthen your faith.
I'm here with the Associate Pastor of the Bible Chapel, Dave DiDonato, and we want to let you know about an exciting series that we're teaching together this summer. It's called Relevant Faith, and it will run through the weekend of September 14th and 15th at the Bible Chapel. We're going to address some of the most important issues facing our culture today. Dave, what's the motivation behind this series, and why is it so important?
Well, Generation Z includes those in the age bracket roughly around 8 to 24 years old, and they are growing up today in what many consider the first post-Christian generation of our country. That means that more than 50% of this generation is unchurched. They are living in a world that is trying to completely redefine what truth is. And we believe it's the church's responsibility to prepare this next generation for the culture they are living in today.
If you live in the Pittsburgh area, we invite you to join us for our Relevant Faith series at one of our campuses. Visit our church website at BibleChapel.org. That's BibleChapel.org for more information. And for those living outside the Pittsburgh area, you can join us through our online campus that streams our services every Sunday from our website, our app, and our Facebook page. So join us this summer as we declare that following Jesus Christ is just as relevant today as it's ever been. We look forward to seeing you at one of our campuses.
Again, that web address is BibleChapel.org. And don't forget our offer of Ron Moore's booklet, Voices of Opposition. It's available for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. That's ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018, 724-731-2018. And if the journey has made a difference in your spiritual life, won't you invite your friends and family to listen as well? We'll thank you, and we think they will too. Finally, please keep in mind that the journey relies on your generous donations to remain on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron next time as we walk together on The Journey.